Hi. I thought I did a talk the other day for a group of people, and they asked me to do a talk on fear and on depression and things like that. So I kind of obviously I talk about lots of different things, and so I thought I'd I wanted to bring something to it that I've not. Stuff that I've not done before, but in a different context. Maybe stuff I've done before, but in a different context. So I decided to bring things to the talk that I'd made. Like, for instance, this. This is my BAFTA. I know I've probably shown you this before. It's very beautiful, isn't it? This is something I made from fear. This is made from a depression. My brother died from alcoholism. My brother was depressed. My brother was fearful. My brother was so afraid that he couldn't leave his kitchen. He lived in a tower block in a small flat, and his fear had become so intense that he couldn't leave the kitchen. He just couldn't leave the kitchen. And he died hideously. And I loved him. I loved him very much. He was my hero. And I wrote a film about my brother's death called Brown Paper Bag, inspired by my brother. And I wrote a stage play. And I won a BAFTA for it, but we won a BAFTA, you know, me and Natasha and Michael and, you know, the actors, and it was obviously, but I wrote the script for it, and we won a BAFTA. So this is a manifestation. This is my fear, because I was in tremendous fear when my brother died. In fact, while he was dying, he died over 2 days. His liver completely, collapsed. His whole body bloated, and we had to watch him deteriorate over 2 days. And I couldn't even speak to people on the phone without breaking down crying, because it's my older brother. It was so upsetting. So I made a film about that. I had a tremendous amount of fear and anxiety and depression and sadness, a lot of sadness. So the death of my brother created a lot of chaos in me. I think in science they call chaos entropy. And at the beginning of the Torah in the Old Testament, when they say God, in the beginning there was the Word, and God created the universe with the Word. The common feeling is that he created the universe from nothing. But when you read the Torah, you realise he created the universe from chaos. So he brought order to chaos. So I had chaos in my body, I had chaos in my mind, and I created a film as an outlet for that chaos. And that film went on to win this BAFTA. So this is a manifestation of chaos. This is chaos brought to order. So this is a very beautiful expression of my fear. I'll put it back down again because it's killing my arm. So my life has been about trying to understand my own fear, trying to do something with my own fear. And in the early days, I did what everybody does. I ran away from fear. And of course, as you run away from fear, fear gets bigger. It gets stronger. And we think that fear is our enemy. So we keep running from it. We keep hiding from it. We put a blanket over it. We take drugs. We have alcohol. We indulge in sex. We do anything but look at our fear, because we're afraid of our fear. I did this for the first, I don't know, probably for the first 30 years of my life. I just kept running away from fear. Then one day I just had this realisation that this fear, this depression, just kept turning up in my life and battering me and saying, "I'm your fear. I'll see you again next week." That's how it felt to me. I felt like I was being bullied by my fear. It felt as though it came and went on its own, at its own will, and it completely raped me. That's the feeling I got. I know that's an extreme word, but that's how it felt. It felt like when it came in, my life was a hell for 3 months, and then it eventually kind of dissipated. And I got on with my life again, and then lived in dread of it coming back. Later on, I realised that my fear wasn't my enemy. My fear was a part of me that was trying to speak. It was a part of me, an old part, a trapped part, an old script, an old fear, an old injury, an old scar, an old trauma, old beliefs, old core beliefs, stuck inside me, asking for expression, looking for a way out. And every time I ran away from it, every time I ignored it, every time I pretended it wasn't there, it expanded. And when it expanded, it hurt me, it hurt my body. It lodged itself in parts of my body and created illness, created, as we, I said before, this blockage of it created depression. And it always felt like it was my enemy. And I just reached this point where I thought, and up to this point, obviously, I was reading lots of books and trying to figure out what was wrong with me. The books weren't really giving me the answer. So I came to this point in my life where I just thought, I've got to do something with this. I can't keep running away from this. I was so angry. I was so fed up of being pushed around and bullied by my own fear. I thought, I'm going to, instead of running away from it, I'm going to turn into it. I'm going to look at this Frankenstein's monster. I mean, that's what the book Frankenstein is about. It's about somebody that creates a monster and then wants to distance himself from it. We have monsters inside us. We have monsters growing inside us or squatting inside us. And we don't want to look at them. And we think they are our enemies. But they're only our enemies because we don't look at them. They need expression. They need outlet. They need to come out of us. They need an infinite life outside of us. So instead of running away from fear, I decided to start turning into my fear and looking at my fear. This is the concept of what Francis of Assisi talks about, kissing the leper. He had a debilitating fear of lepers, and God told him to go out and find a leper and kiss a leper. And one of the things I loved about Francis, that he was a man, he was a bloke, and he just fell out with God. He was angry and he said, I can't believe I've confided in you in this, and you want me to go out and you want me to go and kiss a leper on the cracked, bleeding lips. And of course, when he realised that, you know, God was just trying to help him see something, he went out and did that. He found a leper, he embraced it, he kissed it on the leper lips, the bleeding lips, and he picked the leper up into a coat, wrapped the coat around it and started to take the leper to a refuge. Within a few feet, the leper got lighter and lighter, and when he opened this kind of coat or blanket that he wrapped him in, he realised that the leper had disappeared. And the message from God was that your fear has no existence, but it will have existence until you embrace it, until you embrace that dark side of yourself, that part of you that you think is your enemy. When you embrace it, the three-dimensional monster becomes a two-dimensional cartoon. And if you embrace it fully and you embrace it with love, it becomes love. Your fear becomes love. It dissipates. So the concept for me was to start turning into my fear. So what I did was, this is another thing I made from my fear. This is a manifestation. This is a physical manifestation of my fear. I decided to confront my fears. I drew a pyramid on a piece of paper. I wrote all my fears down, one on each step of the pyramid, and I systematically started to confront those fears one by one until I'd overcome them all. And obviously, when I got to the top of one pyramid, I found myself at the bottom of another pyramid, and I recognised that the thing I was trying to confront and the thing I was trying to get rid of was actually my own creative force. It was my own entropy, my own chaos. And from that chaos, using the word, you know, using my powerful imagination, with the art of alchemy, I was able to use that entropy, use that chaos, and bring order to it and create from it. It took a lot. I mean, I had to work on myself, I had to work on, you know, getting mastery over myself, sovereignty over myself. I had to work hard on doing that. I went into the martial arts and, you know, I sat down and disciplined myself to write books. I disciplined myself to face down fears and actually not just face down fears, but look at the fact that the fear that I was feeling, the chaos that I was feeling in my own body, was my creative force. So it's one of those delicious secrets that are hidden in plain sight. Our fear is not our enemy. Our fear is our creative force. Entropy, obviously, if you don't grab hold of chaos, you know, then we get collapse. But if we can hold on to chaos, if we can channel chaos through a righteous funnel or vessel or cable, we can create prolifically in the world. So when I do this talk, when I do other talks, I feel lots of fear. It's not that I'm immune from fear. It's not that It's not that I don't feel fear. Of course I do. I feel vulnerable. But it's from that fear, from that vulnerability, from that chaos that I'm able to create. And this is a book called Fear, the Friend of Exceptional People. It's a book that I wrote describing how I overcame my fears by writing The Pyramid. And interestingly, I just heard this week that Susan Jeffers died. She did exactly the same thing. She was a fearful person. She wrote a great book called Fear the Fear and Do It Anyway. Sold 15 million copies. And she just learned to channel her fear, channel her chaos, her entropy into creative things. She created an amazing life. And it's very interesting, when she first tried to get a publisher for the book, nobody was interested. One publisher actually said to Susan Jeffers, if Lady Di rode down the street naked on a bike, giving this book away, people would not read it. 20 years on, 15 million copies sold in 73 countries. That's Susan Jeffers' method of creating manifest things from her own chaos, from her own fear. Fear's not our enemy. I know it's uncomfortable, and I know that it doesn't feel very nice, but if we can change our perception of fear, if we can change our perception of what fear is and start to use it as a creative force, start to move towards creating with that force, we'll have a whole different relationship with that feeling and with life. In the early days, of course, when I had no way of controlling this chaos, I met my fears head on. I did my fear pyramid. I ended up as a nightclub doorman for I can't remember how long, maybe a decade, maybe 8-10 years, something like that. And I went out into the world because I was fearful. I had this belief that the world was against me, that the world was dangerous, that I had to go out there and protect myself. I went out to confront my fear and became a bouncer. And I give myself all the war paint. I give myself all this bodily armour. I give myself all these massive skills in martial arts. Got on the world stage with martial arts. I was this killing machine. I created that with my own fear. It was a negative creation, but I created it. I went onto a nightclub door. I created thousands and thousands of violent situations. I created them with powerful but not pure imagination, powerful imagination, because the world was against me. When I was 12, I was sexually abused by a man who I idolised, who said to me, with his action, he said to me implicitly, nobody can be trusted. Nobody can be trusted, not even those you love, especially those you love. That left a schema on my hard drive that said, go out into the world, but be very careful, because nobody can be trusted. Build yourself a fort, build yourself an armory, build yourself martial skills. Get rid of the prettiness. When I was 12, I was a pretty boy. I was a nice-looking boy. So I've got to get rid of that. I need to look like a warrior. So that's why they got the ear and the broken nose, and, you know, all the kind of scars on my body, all the tattoos, all the muscle. That's all about me de-prettying, deconstructing that kind of innocent child, going out into the world and creating violent situations with my unschooled imagination. That's what I did in the early days. And obviously I wrote a book about that. That's the first version. I've watched my back. I know, I think if you've watched these lectures or these talks before, you'll know that that's Watch My Back in its earliest form. That's my first go at writing down my fears. That's my first go at making something from my fear. I mean, I didn't know I was making something from my fear. I was just writing it down because it was a good story and people said you should write it down. And I believed that people needed to read stuff about fear, that it was normal, that everybody has fear. Even the people I worked on the doors with, who were legends, had fear. They were all afraid. Everyone was afraid. Some people just hid it better than others. So that was my first manifestation of my own fear. And obviously I'm very prolific. If you look at my brochure, this is just a printout. But if you just look at all the different pages, pages upon pages upon pages of books and films, 40 books, 40 hours of footage, masterclasses, courses, talks. I've created a prolific life, not despite my fear, not even because of my fear, but from my fear, from the energy. I've taken the energy, that chaos, and I've used the word, my own word, and written word, spoken word, to create this prolific and amazing life. Not a life without fear. A life without fear would probably be a life without creation, without us being able to create. So in the early days, as I said, I went out and I was hugely violent. And when I talk about being violent, you know, that's the kind of ugly side of my own creation. I was hideously violent. I knocked people out. I battered them. If I knocked them out and I was very angry and they woke back up again, I'd kick them and knock them out again. I kicked teeth out of people's heads. I turned up at people's factories where they worked and battered them. I turned up at their houses. I intimidated them. You know, and that's because I felt as though I was defending myself. I felt as though I was justified. But what I was doing, I was expressing my fear in a violent way. And that just created more fear in me and in other people. And it created more entropy. At one stage, I had weapons in every room of my house. I had violent books in every room of my house. You know, even the toilet I had weapons in. Even under my bed, there was weapons, blades, blades, bats. Even in my car, everywhere I went, I was a weapon. I personally was a weapon. So I created these weapons out of fear. So that was my first, that was my dark period where I created purely from fear and I created very negative things. The exciting thing for me was when I realised that it was me that was creating it. Because I was out in the world and I was thinking, isn't the world violent? I need to train harder. I need to get more violent myself. Isn't the world scary? I need to be the biggest monster in the valley. Yea, though I should walk through the shadow of the valley of death, yet will I fear no evil, because I'm the biggest monster in the valley. That's my philosophy at that time. It didn't work. You know, violence begets violence. The more violent you are, the more violence there is. Every time you cut the head off violence, another head grows and another head grows. So I was creating prolifically. I was using the law of creation and the law of word, but to create a hell. Emanuel Swedenborg said, we create our own heaven and hell. This is a scientist from the early 1700s who had massive experiences, massive epiphanies about, he was taken through the realms of heaven and hell and came back and wrote lots of books about it. And his main thing was that we create our own heaven and we create our own hell. Yeah. By how we use our entropy, by how we use our chaos. And if we've got a lot of energy coming in, if we have a lot of fear, if we have a lot of trauma in our life, or if we have a very difficult past, that can be even more difficult. So people have all this energy in them and they go out and they create negatively in the world because they don't know they're doing it. I didn't know I was doing it. And then one day it clicked. You know, I said to somebody, it's very violent. Well, I think I said to my wife, it's very violent. And she said, it's interesting, wherever you go, it's very violent. And I thought, yeah, that's true. That's true, it's me that's creating it. But that was very exciting for me, because I just thought, I'm creating it. I'm creating this violence. I'm using this entropy, this energy, and it comes from a divine place, but I'm bringing it through a dodgy filter, a cracked filter, a divided filter, and I'm creating negatively. I'm creating negatively in the world. I'm doing it. I'm creating the fights. I'm creating the violence. I'm creating the queues of people. I'm creating nightclubs. I'm creating pubs. I'm creating fights at christenings. I couldn't go to a christening without being in a fight. Everywhere I went, there was violence. And then you have to ask yourself. Of course you have to ask yourself. Everywhere I go, there's violence. It's not out there. It's me. It's in me. It's a projection from me. That was the most exciting turning point of my life. Because I realised, I'm creating this. So I can turn this around and I can, instead of creating from a divided imagination, powerful but divided, I can create from a pure imagination. I can cleanse myself. I can eat healthy. I can get rid of all the violent weapons in every room. I can get rid of all the violent books. I can cleanse my cells by not reading violence every day, by not reading the violent newspapers, not listening to the violent negative news, not sitting around violent people, not feeding myself with violence. starving myself of violence. And then as those old shadows come up, I find a way of outletting them. And I outlet them through all this. This is where my outlet is. This is where my outlet is, through books and films and DVDs. Some of them are brilliant, some of them are not brilliant. Some of them have won loads of awards, some of them have been, critically slammed. But I've created the best I can with that energy, and I'm still in that process. I'm here today doing a talk, still nervous. I've got a talk I'm doing on Saturday for my friend Trevor. I'm nervous about that, but I will create order from that chaos. I'll bring divinity, I'll bring God to the room, I'll prepare the room, I'll use my powerful imagination to try and create something that will serve people, that will help people out there to look at their own energy in a different way, to change their own perception of their own energy, because it's all about perception. Money is perception, business is perception, politics is perception, the world is about perception, heaven and hell is perception. That's something Milton said, the mind is its own place, it can make a heaven out of hell and a hell out of heaven. So it's about us trying to get some sovereignty over that, some understanding of that, and creating prolifically. I mean, maybe that's not what you want to create. It looks like it's a piece of metal to you, and it might look to you like I'm bragging about this BAFTA, but what I'm saying is this is the manifestation, this is the alchemistic product of massive fear. Let me show you this. This is a film I did called Clubbed. 15 years it took me to get that made. £2 million worth of fear right there. £2 million. Obviously, there's a massive team on that. We had 200 people working on it. We had a great producer, great director, great actors. Some people love the film, some people didn't love the film, but I created it. I've created this from my powerful imagination. I've created it. £2 million worth of film. I've created properties. I've created courses. I've created a beautiful relationship with my wife. I've got beautiful friends. I've got books in 21 languages all around the world. I don't know how many countries we're in. We're in a lot of countries. But that's all created from my... Fear is probably the wrong word, but created from my chaos. It's order brought from chaos. If we want to bring more chaos through, or more pure energy through, and create from that, we need to get more power over our word, more power over our will, so that we're not going out into the world and, wasting our energy, going on the internet, or going on Twitter, or going on Facebook, or the social media, and attacking people, or bullying people, or, we don't want to waste our energy going out into nightclubs and pubs and fighting. We don't want to waste our energy falling out with our family and friends, displacing it. We want to find out who we are, we want to find out who we're not. The parts of us that are not serving us, we need to dissolve them, create gold from them, bring them back into alignment. The part that is us, which is our authentic self, we need to expand, and then we need to create from that place. That's the place we need to create from. So that's a £2 million manifestation. What does it say on there? It's not very clear, but it says something like train spotting all over again, stunning, awesome, 5 stars. Other people said it's the worst film of the year. That's interesting. Very interesting how this was a very fearful process for me. This was about me making something with my divine energy and putting it out into the world and letting them judge it. And when people didn't like it and attacked it, it created more fear in me. So what I did with that fear is I created other things. I created more films. I created more DVDs. I just kept creating, prolifically. This is interesting. This is a play called Fragile. And this is another manifestation of my deepest fears, my deepest shame, my deepest guilt, rage, oceans of rage, fathoms of rage, that it's took me 40 years to write that. It's took me 40 years to have the courage to look at this aspect of my own self. This is a part of myself that I hid away from for a long time because it was... because there was so much on there that I was ashamed of, so much in there that I was ashamed of. When I finally built the courage up to look at this shadow and look at this monster inside me, I realised it wasn't a monster. It was just a small child that was looking for expression. It was shouting for expression. It was giving my body illnesses and saying, please look at me. Please acknowledge me. This was my little Frankenstein monster. Actually turned out to be a beautiful little boy that just wanted expression. And because this was stuck in me, it was stopping the flow of my natural energy. So I wrote a play about it. And to really overcome the shame that I felt from some of the experiences and some of the feelings I'd had, I put the play on in Coventry. Well, in fact, it wouldn't go on anywhere else. Nobody else was really interested in looking at it. They just wanted to go on in Coventry. So we put it on in Coventry. It was about, I think it cost about 70 grand for the company to get it on. We got an actor, we got about 20 people working on it. We created a set and we had 4 weeks rehearsal and then we had 2 weeks of the play on. So for 6 weeks, I was able to look at my fear, look at my shame, look at my guilt, look at my anger, look at my rage. And in a kind of form of gestalt, I broke it down into its component parts. And then every day for 6 weeks, I sat and watched my life unfold on a stage. And it enabled me to look at it, break it down, and dissolve lots of blocks in me. It enabled me to find unconditional love for some of the people that I would blamed for, you know, for my abuse. It enabled me to completely forgive and completely let go and recognise that it was a moment in time. And it didn't need to last another 40 years. So it got lots of 5-star reviews. And that's because it's a beautiful manifestation of massive fear. I had moments of terror when this was going on. Moments of terror. And the moments of terror were because, what if my mum sees it? What will my wife think? What will my children think? What will my friends think? I actually thought my agent might sack me when she read it. I thought she might get rid of me because it was so honest. It was so visceral. But it actually had the opposite effect. I went out. I said, this is me. This is me being vulnerable. This is me being scared. This is me feeling ashamed. This is me feeling mangled by life. This is me feeling abandoned by God. This is all of me. Have a look at it, and if you want to judge, that's okay, but this is me, I'm out there. It actually had the opposite effect. People saw that vulnerability, and through that vulnerability they saw God. So all these working scars, they still saw love, they still saw God. So that for me, and it was amazing to watch it manifest and become three-dimensional, you know, watching the stage being built, watching the actor rehearsing and his terror. Because the actor had his own issues to deal with that were related to this. The director had his own issues to deal with that related to this. It felt, most days, it felt like when we were rehearsing, it felt like we was in a therapy session. Very, very, very beautiful, but very strange experience. So the same thing. There they are. All my fears, all my shames, all my blackmailers, all my enemies. Actually weren't my enemies at all. You know, once I got rid of that, it just cleared the way for lots of other things. This is a short film I did called Romans 12:20, and it's taken from a very, very short section in here where I talked about being sexually abused when I was a boy. It's the first time I'd spoken about it, the first time ever I'd spoken about it. And I thought, I need to bring this to light. What you bring to light becomes light. So I brought it to light. I wrote about it. There was a good response from it. I met the person that abused me and abandoned me when I was in my 30s, and I forgave him. I told him I forgave him. That was my way of untangling myself. That was my way of letting him go. Obviously, I still wanted my day in court. That didn't happen for me because they couldn't get enough evidence, and I still feel he should have his day in court. And he should still meet the full force of the law. But for me to untangle myself from the trauma of that situation, I need to forgive him. And forgiveness to me means to give it over. It means to give it over to God or give it over to our higher force. I wrote about it in here. And because it was honest and because it was congruent, people responded. And I wrote about forgiving him. And then two directors I was working with said to me, we really like that story. They called it the handshake story. Because when I forgave the guy that abused me, he wanted to shake hands with me, and that was his way of saying, "Are you really forgiven me?" And I shook hands with him and said, "I'm really forgiving you." But he thought he was being let off, but I knew it was just me giving him back his own karma, untangling myself. He went off a few years later, lots of other offences caught up with him. The police did have enough evidence. He went to London and killed himself. I wrote a film. The lads asked me, could they write a film based on just on that one incident, a short film. So I wrote Romans 12:20. We made it for about £37,000. We had 37 wonderful people who give us £1,000 towards making it. Lisa Gerrard gave us the music. Lisa Gerrard did the music for Gladiator and for The Inside Man. We had a world-class team on this film, and it was because it had divinity in it, it had truth in it. So I made a film. So this is a beautiful film that won awards all over the world. It was Oscar long-listed. I think it was Rush's in London. It was a big festival. Our film was 15 minutes too long for their category, so they created a new category just for our film because they were so excited about it. That is the manifestation of my abuse, another manifestation of it. That's also been made into a feature film now. That's being cast at the moment by CAA in America because it's attracting a global audience. The feature film is called Romans. That's about me looking at a subject that I'm afraid of, and actually saying to the guys, when they ask me to write, I'm thinking, do I want to go there again? I don't want to go there again. It's uncomfortable to look at. And them saying, we want to make a great film, and me thinking, well, I've got to go there. I tried to sabotage it. I tried to get out of it. I said, well, get me some money and I'll write it. And I said to my wife, I'm very afraid of this film. I'm very afraid of this subject. And that means I need to write it. I need to stop thinking about the money and just write this film. And that's what I did. I wrote the film. We made the film. And it got a wonderful audience. It's a wonderful film. And it's led on to a feature. And it's led on to lots of other things as well. So that's me looking at my fear, looking at my chaos, looking at my entropy, and bringing it to order and creating it through the lens of a camera and making it into a beautiful film. So it's the same thing, it's kind of asking you, what can you make with yours? You've got your own fears, you've got your own anxieties, you've got your own little Frankenstein monsters that want to come up. They want expression, they want to be expressed out of you, they want infinity, they want life outside of you. They don't want to be squatting in the caverns of your body. What can you make with it? What can you create with it? If you can get that, if you can channel that and fine-tune it, what can you go out and create in the world? The people I met who are the most prolific are the most fearful. And I don't want that to be true. It's uncomfortable for me to say this because I'm like everybody else. I'm looking for comfort. I want a bit of peace. I want to go and sit in an attic somewhere, in an apartment by the sea and write classics, but with no fear, with no anxiety. But I'm 52 and I've not found that place, and I've not met anybody else that's found that place. But I have found people, one or two, that use their fear as a creative force. They use their fear as a creative force. I'm reading the Torah at the moment. My friend Warner bought me a fantastic copy of the five books of Moses. That's what the Torah is. It's the first five books of the Holy Bible. And it's all about creation. Genesis is all about creation. It's all about the word and about the fact that the Bible should be read, it should be verbalised, it should be spoken, and that we should use the word to create. We should use our energy to create. And we create not from nothing, we create from chaos. That's the most exciting revelation. And I'm learning things all the time. I'm sure I've contradicted this somewhere else. In the past, but as Gandhi says, your job isn't to be consistent with the past, your job is to be consistent with the truth, and that seems to keep changing. So we're creating from chaos, and that's wonderful, isn't it? That's exciting, because instead of now turning away from your fear, you can turn into your fear. Instead of running from the fear, you can run towards your fear. Instead of hiding from your fear, you can seek out your fear. And instead of letting your fear produce against your own will in the world and create things that you don't want to see and that bring negativity to you, we can we can develop a mastery over that fear, and we can create something beautiful with it. We can even take that fear, that very uncomfortable feeling, and we can create pure love with it. We can turn it into pure love. You know, people like Mother Teresa and people like Mahatma Gandhi and people like Nelson Mandela, they're not people that live, you know, outside of fear. They don't not fear because they have a connection to God. They probably fear a lot more than the rest of us. They're people that have massive entropy in their life, massive chaos, but they learn to channel it. They learn to channel it through the sovereignty of themselves. And they learn to channel it by recognising that they are caretakers of this energy. They don't own it. It just comes through them. There's a responsibility with it. So I find that very exciting. I find it very exciting to think that we can go out and we can create wonderful things. And we risk being vulnerable. We risk making mistakes. But we're not going to create anything without being vulnerable. We're not going to create anything without making mistakes. We're not going to create anything without that feeling. That feeling is what you need. That feeling is, you know, and again, you know, you can have moments where you're going to feel sheer terror and you're going to want to run away. I do all the time. You turn into it, you embrace it. It was great. It wasn't as bad as you thought it was. And then afterwards you get, you get an easy. In the Holy Quran, it says, for every difficulty, we will give you one easy. For every difficulty, we will give you one easy. It says it twice. Don't forget that it's not going to be like that all the time. It's intermittent. And don't forget also that from the chaos, from the fear, you create. You can create your universe. And you can take a pure imagination and exercise your imagination, which is one of the things that's been suppressed, I think, by society. Most people's imaginations have been dulled, you know, by mundane work and by reading fear in the papers every day and listening to fear on the news every day. So you can do like I've done. You know, there's just a prolific amount of creativity in there that goes all around the world. We've just gone into Arabic, and that's not mine. That's me taking this energy, having the discipline to sit down and create something from it. Yours might be entirely different. You might want to go and build a village in India. You might want to put all that energy into, creating a perfect household or creating perfect health. I also found, interestingly as well, is that when I've felt at my most fearful, I felt most connected to God, to my own God, to my own divinity. This is something Leonard Cohen says in one of his songs, only the drowning man can see Jesus. Sometimes it's not till we're in that place of pain, not till we meet that wall of pain, until we exhaust all our egoic strengths, that we're able to directly connect to our own divine force. And when we connect to that, it often feels like chaos. It feels, you know, like we're out of control. But if we can find the right channel and the right vessel, we can create from that. So that's the very first manifestation of it, as I said. And if you look on the pages, 1989, that's me. I didn't know I was doing this, but I was sitting down and I was making something physical from my fear. Later on, that became this book, which is another manifestation of my fear. And there was a lot of fear, believe me, with this, because you write a book and you think it's exciting, I'm going to get it published, and then suddenly you've got a deal and you're thinking, crikey, what will people think? What are people going to think about this? Are the people that I've written about, are they going to want to come back and see me again? Am I going to create more chaos because of this book? You know, and there was a lot of fear associated with putting it out there. Is it going to sell? Is it going to bomb? You know, are people going to hate it? Are people going to hate me? Are people going to judge me? All of those fears come up. So the responsibility with writing a book is suddenly thinking, now it's out there, I've got a responsibility to stand in front of it and say, this is what I've written. These are the two films I talked about, Brown Paper Bag and Bouncer. Both of them created from fear. After we shot Bouncer, it was only a 2 or 3 day shoot, I was emotionally shattered. I've got another stage play called Doorman, which is about me, again, writing all my fears down, writing all the truths down, writing down all the mistakes I made with my children, with my first wife, with the people I battered on the doors. You know, there's probably only one of the commandments that I haven't broken. And that was only divinity that stopped that happening. I nearly killed people a few times and I'm ashamed of that. But that's what this film is about, and that's what these are about. You know, this is what we did, Bouncer, you know, and when we wrote that, when I wrote that, the producers said, who do you want? I said, Ray Winston. But there was a sense that people were afraid to talk to Ray Winston, to ask Ray Winston, because he was on Hollywood fees. But my feeling is if there's divinity in something, people will see it, whether it's a short piece of art or a long piece of art. And we ended up getting Ray Winston, who was a wonderful man. He was a very gracious man, one of the most generous people I've ever met. And we made what I still think is a beautiful film. But it's a film about violence. It's a film about violent people, but it's a truthful film. It's saying that what you put out is going to return. If you're going to be violent with people, violence is going to come back. If you're going to create more chaos from your chaos, you're going to increase chaos. You know, and then you know, at some point you're going to see that. If you're going to create negativity with your energy, you're going to see that negativity again. You're going to create a hell instead of a heaven. So this was about me saying, this is what it was like when I was in hell. This is what it was like. I understood that I was creating it, but I couldn't stop myself. The character in this film talks about karma. It's like, he says violence is like karma. It's like time and the tides. You know, once you've done something, you can't stop it coming back. It will come back. And then the character in the film kills somebody. And even though he knows he's going to have to reap the karma of that, he hasn't got enough self-control to stop him doing it. So that's what's exciting for me. This is a little book I wrote. I had my first epiphany about, I don't know, a lot of years ago. And this little book is what I wrote afterwards. It's The Secret to Perpetual Motion. And it's saying, use your energy to serve. To serve selflessly. I'm telling you this, but I'm telling me this because I need to learn this. I need to remember this every single day. Serve selflessly. What you give out will return. This book is saying you make your own hell. You make your own heaven. You make it. You can, you know, you've got choice. You like Viktor Frankl said, you might end up in, he ended up in Auschwitz, you know, in a concentration camp. He said, I couldn't choose the fact that I was there, I couldn't get out of there. He said, but I could choose how I responded to that place, and I could choose how I use my energy. And he said, from that darkness, within that darkness, within the ultimate darkness, within the ultimate deprivation, Viktor Frankl rose above his fears, rose above his anxieties, and he created and he manifested wonderful things from it. You know, he was able to escape death by seconds on several occasions because he said he brought the whole universe to his aid. He said the whole universe was working for him, and he had a purpose to get through Auschwitz. The purpose means logos, it means the breath of God. He had God behind him, and he wanted to get out, and he wanted to write a book about his experiences to say to people, look, This is, look at this deprivation. We can't have this. This deprivation is a manifestation of people's fear. This is what fear brings if we don't do something with it. Interestingly, when Frankl went into Auschwitz, he said he carried a page of the Torah around with him every single day. He only had one page. He kept it in his pocket. And he carried this page of the Torah with him, and he read it every single day, and it just gave him some balm. And one day he had his trousers, his clothes taken from him, and he was given prison clothes, and his page of the Torah was taken. And he had in one of his prayers and meditations, he was told by the voice of God, we don't want you to read the Torah anymore. We want you to be the Torah. The Torah means the word. We don't want you to be the word anymore. We don't want you to talk to read the word anymore. We want you to be the word. We want you to prove that the word can be manifested even in a place like this. We want you to prove that even in the ninth circle of hell, you can lift your consciousness above it. You can create greatness from this. And he was able to do that. You know, if you get a chance to read Man's Search for Meaning, it's a wonderful book all about Viktor Frankl's experience in Auschwitz and how he was told, do not read the word, be the word. This is your opportunity. This is not theory now. This is real. So it's okay saying all this stuff, and it's okay talking about all this stuff, but we've got, at some point, we've got to do it. So if you've got fear in your life, what can you create with that? If you've got depression in your life, what can you create with that? If you have anxiety in your life, where does that want to express itself? You know, if you've got lots of, if you're carrying too much body weight, if you're carrying addictions, all those addictions are feeding these old fears, these old scars that keep manifesting in your life. So if you want to bring them out and get cleansed, start to starve yourself of all the negativities, of all the excesses, of all the pornographies. Start to strip them away. It's a very, very simple thing. I'm talking to people all the time. You know, I've been doing martial arts all my life, and I'm saying to them, you know, the first thing to do is get your palate right. You know, it's no good just filling yourself with positive stuff. You also need to empty out the negative stuff, you know. So we do that by very simply eating healthily, eating light, drinking lots of water, and as we starve these old addictions of their sustenance, they will start to rise up and come out of the body. And as they come out of the body, you just need to find a way to process them, find a prolific way. You know, dig 100 holes. You know, build a house, build a city, build a universe. You know, write a book. It doesn't matter if it gets published. Just write it. Make a film. It doesn't matter if the film's good or not. Just make a film. Be prolific. I actually had a conversation with one of my big shadows. And it was the shadow was no longer stuck inside me. It was no longer like kind of embedded into my very, you know, kind of being. It was loose. It was roaming around. And I could feel it, and I could feel it damaging me, and I could feel that it wanted expression, but I was afraid to look at it. So I sat with it one day, and this is an exercise from Ken Wilber, who's a great guy if you get a chance to look at him. He's one of the leading lights in the world on anything metaphysical. He had a technique called talking to shadow, where you acknowledge that you've got a Frankenstein's monster in you, or you've got this trapped child, is a better expression. And you talk to it. So he spoke to this part of himself all the time. That's one of his exercises. So that's what I did. I got this shadow, it was there. I sat down. Sometimes I'll do a written meditation. Sometimes I'll do an oral meditation. Sometimes I'll do it through counselling with one of my friends or with my wife. So I said to this energy, I said, I'm aware that you're in me. I'm aware that you're there. I'm aware that you're mine. I know I've created you. And I want to help you find what you want. What do you want? And this energy in me said, I want expression. I want infinite life outside of you. And it was quite an angry, a lot of my shadows seem to be quite angry for some reason. That was quite an angry shadow. And I said, where do you want to be? Where can I put you? And they said, I want expression outside of you. I want life outside of you. And I said, okay. Where do you want me to put you? What do you want life in? And he said, I want life in a film. And I said, what film? He said, you know what film. And I did know. I'd done... where's she gone? Romans 12:20. And he said, I want to be in a feature version. I want to be in Romans. So I said, right. And it took me about 3 or 4 weeks to sit down. There was a lot of fear there again, and I've got to gather it and channel it and get myself centred. So I sat down and wrote this film called Romans, which I love. I absolutely love. The Shemazian brothers are going to produce it, direct it, sorry. I've got a friend in London at the film and tea company, James Harris, who's producing it, and Ronnie Thompson, they're producing it. And we're talking with A-list actors at the moment. That was me giving this shadow life outside of me, and that will go on to have an infinite life, hopefully a beautiful life. And the great thing is that when you put your stuff, when you express your stuff, when you manifest your stuff, if it's honest, if it's congruent, if it's raw, if it's neat, no matter how difficult it might have been and how ugly it might have seemed, you will find real beauty. I wish, if you didn't see it, I wish you could have seen Fragile. It hopefully will tour next year, but it was such a beautiful... You know, it was such a beautiful monster. It was so beautiful. This just made, you know, the lighting, the sound, the direction, the acting. It was just sublime. And I didn't recognise it as mine. I just recognised it as an expression of, you know, chaos, as chaos brought to order. But the great thing with that is when you put something like that out and it's congruent, other people can look at it and, it can, we actually had the Samaritans at the door of the theatre because the play was that hard, but other people, this will create an allowing for other people. This will create an allowing for other people. This will create an allowing for other people. What will this do? this, well, what, I mean, what's your BAFTA? What is it? What do you want? Does it represent good health? Does it represent fortune? Does it represent freedom? What does it represent to you? You know, but those things create an allowing for other people. It allows other people to go out. If Jeff can do it, if Jeff can admit he's scared, if, and that he's vulnerable, and that, you know, that he has these fears and has these shames, then maybe I can. Maybe I can be brave enough. So your courage will encourage other people. You know, your courage will help other people. You know, your bravery will create an allowing for other people. So you putting stuff down will serve you, but it will serve other people. But you just need to make sure it's as honest as you can be. And if it feels a bit too big at the moment, then just break it down. You know, break it down into smaller segments. Make it, you know, just do a little bit. When I first wrote about the sexual abuse I'd had, which was a lot of shame around that, I just wrote a little bit in here and basically said, this guy abused me, and I'm going to build myself up into a monster, and I'm going to find him and I'm going to fucking kill him. That's what I'm going to do. So I don't know how old I was. I must have been in my 30s. I'm like 16 stone and nearly 16 stone. And, you know, this martial artist, this kind of seasoned doorman, and I'll see him. I spot him in a cafe. The universe puts me in front of him. And I realise when I'm in front of him that I go over to him and I say to him, you don't remember me. And I said, but when I was a boy, you sexually abused me. And he went to stand up and I said, sit down. But I was trembling. I was afraid. I was like I was 11 again. I wanted to run away. But I knew I needed to face him. But in that facing him, I knew that violence wasn't going to work. It was just going to add more karma to my own life. It was just going to make my life worse. I had enough faith in God at that time to give it over. So I just said to him, you need to know that I forgive you. I forgive you. And I let him go. And after I let him go, all of it went back to him. But, you know, when you say that, people have this idea that it was just a thing you just did. But there was a massive amount of fear there. I really wanted to just run away. I wrote about it in here. And then I wrote about actually meeting him later on. And like I said, that became a film, it became a play. You know, it's becoming a feature film. You know, same as Brown Paper Bag is a short film. It's a stage play as well. It'll probably be a feature film. Bouncer was a short film. It was a stage play. The short film went to 32 international festivals. 32 international festivals, 32 different countries wanted to see my expression, my manifestation of my fear, of my terror. That's what they wanted to see. Because that's part of the human condition. I was so into trying to figure out why I was so mangled and why I was so damaged and why I was so afraid that I studied fear and I studied stress to, this is a book called The Stress Buster. I studied it to master's level. I did a master's degree with the Society of Martial Arts through Salford University, and that was my thesis. So that's another manifestation of my fear. And I can't tell you how many times I wanted to run away from this because it was so difficult to sit down and write this stuff down and try to find references and put it in an order that I thought people would understand, that would serve people, that would hopefully, if not save them, at least give them some direction, give them a bit of balm. But I studied a long time to be able to get that information, and then I sat down for a long time and had lots of rewrites to be able to put that into a book. And like I said, that's £2 million worth there. 15 years. Why did it take me 15 years? Because for 15 years I was scared. I was afraid of putting my fear out there, my vulnerability on a film and saying to people, that's, you know, that's me looking at when that guy is depressed and smashing up the room. That's me. When that guy is being bullied, that's me. When that guy is being bullied by even being bullied by the people he loves, being bullied by himself, that's me. So I am a very courageous person, but it's not that I'm not afraid, but I'm not afraid of being afraid. Although sometimes I'm afraid of being afraid. Although I'm not afraid of being afraid of being afraid. That makes no sense, does it? So try and start if you can. Have a look at it and what can you make? Reverse it. You know, change your perception of your fear. Stop trying to get rid of it. You're sitting on your treasure. You're sitting on your fortune right there. Anyway, hope that's okay. I hope you got something. I'm just trying to see if there's anything else I can reference. But these books are all available, if you want to look at them and learn from my own experiences. But more than anything else, just keep creating, keep taking the energy, keep taking that chaos. Don't try and get rid of it, turn into it. You've tried to do that before, you've run away from it, doesn't work. I did that. Just gets bigger. Start using it, start seeing it in a different way. And you'll be able to create whatever you want to create, you'll be able to create. It's out there for you to do. God bless you all, and see you on the next one.